Again, last week we started with the message, you matter. Today's, they matter. We're going to be talking about the individuals that we meet and we come across every day. We're talking about people. We're talking about the 8+ billion people that are on this planet right now. Not just me, myself, but others. We're talking about the ones next door to us. We're talking about the ones we work with, the ones we work for. We're talking about the ones we see in the grocery store, the ones we see when we go shopping at the mall. We're talking about the ones we bump into at the gas station, at the gym, and the restaurants. We're talking about others. We're talking about someone, not ourselves, today. You probably bump into many people every day. They are everywhere. No matter where you go on this planet, you're going to run into somebody. No matter where you go, there is usually someone there. Go on vacation to get away from everybody, and you know what you're going to see? You're going to see somebody. You're going to see people. People are everywhere. You can't get away from them. You and I, see, we're part of the human race, and as hard as we might try to be the only person on the planet, it just isn't going to work. Last week we talked about you matter. There's a segment of people who believe, honestly, deep down in their heart, that they just, as an individual, they just don't matter to the grand scheme of things. They don't matter to anybody. There's not one person that they are a focal point for. See, last week's message didn't affect everybody, because there are some people who believe that they are the all that matters. That they are the only focal point, that they are the only thing, that the world and the people around them circle around their gravitational force. So today's message is about making sure that we are putting the focus and prioritizing others. It's not just about I matter, and that's what sometimes is innate in our human flesh, me, 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 I. It's about you matter, they matter. Let's talk about what society is doing today. Society is putting us in a frame of thought that some matter. Society is trying to segment us and put us down into small groups and to break us off from one another. Society is trying to make a segment of people see this segment of people only at face value, only at what is inherently right in front of them and nothing more. They're boxing us into groups. We have sayings that end in matter. We have Black Lives Matters. We have All Lives Matters. We have Blue Lives Matters. We have everything that matters except for everyone and everything, and we're not breaking it down to what is the most inherent truth. I was talking to somebody that told me, you know, Black Lives Matter. I said, absolutely. You know, she's like, what do you think of All Lives Matter? That's true too. What about Blue Lives Matter? That's true too. They're not lives, but I get the point. They're like, well, you're not taking a side. I said, there's no side to take. I said, if I tell you Black Lives Matters, it's not in the fact that your skin color is black. It's in the virtue that God created you as somebody who is important and special to Him. If you want to break us apart, I'm always looking for ways to agree with somebody. And then to push their narrative further. Why just this? Why not this plus more? But that's what society is wanting us to do. You know, we're living in a society, it's men versus women. Men are toxic, women are this. And there's different, you know, spectrums now of people that want to break off to you. They can't keep track of it all. You know, they're breaking us off between educated and non-educated. And they're breaking people off between how many different segments. But at the end of the day, if we would just see what Jesus saw, they are a life created by God. And so that they have inherent value, we would see beyond those segments. And we would not be so easily let the world distract us and to separate us and to divide us. There are 8 billion people on this planet. Here in America, there's one born about every 8 seconds. Someone dies about every 10 seconds. 1 million international migrants enter the country every day. There's 325 plus million people now live in the United States. And that's small when you consider countries like China and India, who have 1.4 billion people in their countries. So let's go back. We can't find a mass of people anywhere on this planet without people, other people, someone we don't know, someone that's maybe not like us, someone who doesn't have our experiences, someone who doesn't have our background, someone who doesn't have our upbringing, someone who doesn't have our thought process. We're going to see other people. And those same other people, those same people, we are commanded in the scriptures to reach them, to disciple them, to love them. So let's think about the Ten Commandments. Most of us know what the Ten Commandments are. So let's run through those real quick. Number one, you shall have no other gods before you. It's talking about God. You shall not make any idols. It's talking about God. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We're talking about God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're talking about God. Now let's hear. Honor your father and your mother. We're talking about others. You shall not murder others. You shall not commit adultery. Talking about others. You shall not steal. Talking about others. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're talking about others. You shall not covet others. See, the first four commandments have to do with your relationship with God, but the next six have to do with your relationship with others, with them, with they, with people, with someone, not yourself. But the six commandments have to do with them. So let's think about this, okay? If we are following the six commandments, if we are focusing on others and truly following the six commandments, it's going to be hard to lie about them. It's going to be hard to steal from them. It's going to be hard to covet what they have. It should be a lot harder to murder them if we're thinking about others. It's hard to do these things when you choose to love them. This is why Jesus told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. You won't have any problem with six of the Ten Commandments if you love others and value them enough to say they matter. We have to understand, people are not inanimate objects. They are not disposable things that we could just throw away. We might think sometimes that because there are so many of them that we shouldn't have to be all concerned about them, about all of them. But understand something. We looked at it last week. Every single person on the planet matters to God. We were talking about last week, you matter. We're saying you matter to God because every single person on the planet matters to God. So it's not so much you anymore. Now it's about them. It's about the person sitting next to you, the person behind you, the person that you're working with, the person on your street who's just really obnoxious with the music all out late hours of the night. You're just really upset. It's that person who doesn't really talk to you very respectfully at work and you just wish they would go away or get fired. It's that those people, God created them with value. So whether we notice them or not, whether we care about them or not, whether we want God to have value in them or not, they matter to him. They matter to God. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." They belong to and they matter to him. They matter to God. Amen? Can you imagine a conversation that was going on in heaven just before the little baby was born in Bethlehem? The angels are asking God, why did you want to go down there? What's down there for you? Why would you want to become flesh? Why would you do that to yourself? Don't you know they're going to reject you? Don't you know they're going to despise you? Don't you know they're going to kill you? God's answer would be yes, but I'm going down there anyways. The angels ask why? Because they matter. One day, Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and he tells them, I must go to Samaria. Why would you want to go there? Those people aren't Jewish. They don't worship the way we worship. No Jew ever goes to Samaria. They walk miles out of the way to keep from going there. Why are you going to Samaria, Jesus? Because they matter. Because a little woman there with a lot of stuff going on in her life, I'm going to meet her there and she matters. Some of us have written some people off. But understand, God has not written them off. They may irritate you. They may get on your nerves. They may be hurting you. They may even hate you. They may make it their purpose in life to make you miserable. I had a sibling like that. We're better now. Because he matters. Come to Lord. But as a Christian, they matter. As a Christian, they have value to God. As a Christian, God loves them. And if we are going to reflect Christianity and Christ and Jesus in us, we have to love others. Even that same person you may feel has ought against you. See, Jesus fed his Judas. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew how that all worked and played out. The one who was about to sell him out, the one who was going to introduce the killing frenzy, Jesus sat next to him at his Last Supper. Judas was not somebody Jesus pushed aside. Judas was someone who Jesus said, sit next to me. Knowing full well the outcome of that relationship and how that was going to turn out. Why? Because he mattered. He was important. There was value there. He was a creation of God's. So the question is, are you mature enough to sit with and feed your Judas? See, apparently Judas, he did matter to Jesus. Can anyone think of somebody who they may need to just, who might be their Judas? I got a couple right now, I'm thinking. Lord, I don't want to sit next to them. Okay. And that's how we feel on the inside. But they matter. They have value. God wants to see them and see them make heaven. Amen? Because at the end of the day, others matter. And matter was like to Jesus too. Because understanding again, Jesus, fully God and fully man. Knowing what was going to be happening. I can't imagine me being in that situation not being angry or upset or wanting to be distant or wanting to stay away. And he says, come sit next to me. How tough is that? To break down one's own feelings and to give those to God and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I want to love like you want me to love. I want to reach out to those you want me to reach out to. I want to be available, Lord, just as you were available to me. But that flesh rises up and says, I don't want nothing to do with this. I want no part of this. Imagine Jesus being fully man. Having to take those feelings and pray about those and give those up and to fulfill his calling. Church, they matter. And who gets to decide who matters? Is it you? Is it me? Is it society? Not society. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, come. The Spirit of God is saying, come. What are we saying to them? What are we doing that is in agreement with what the Spirit is saying and doing in people's lives? The Spirit of God is saying, calling everyone, your neighbors, your co-workers, people you bump into at the grocery store, at the gym, at the mall. He is telling them, to come? Are we a reflection of that ministry? Is our life saying to those that are around us, come? Matthew 18:18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I'm not sure we realize the power of our prayers sometimes. I'm not sure we understand that God wants to do, we don't quite understand what God wants to do with our witness. We don't quite understand what God wants to do with us individually. We don't quite understand what ministry that God may have in us to reach those who may seem unreachable, to reach those who may seem ignored or unwanted by the rest of the world. There's a ministry in each one of us to be that witness and to go out and to reach. What would happen if we invited someone to come to church with us today? Would they say no? What if we asked them again next week? What if we left them alone a little bit and we let them know that we cared about them and we asked them again in a month? What if we just kept in touch and we were friendly and we showed Christ-like values of love and compassion and we followed up with them, hey, we had a great service last week. I would love for you to come and be a part. What if our focus was just on showing great love and compassion? What if our focus was on just being Christ-like to others? What if our focus was just being a loving person who put others first, who went out of their way for others to show that, hey, I think you have value? Parents, we do that for our kids, don't we? We go out of our way. We deal with the most obnoxious, disgusting, gross things, or they're constantly sneezing up something that should not be in their body. I promise you, they're constantly they wait till they're in your face to cough. I haven't heard them cough all day. But right when you pick them up, that's when they want to cough the loudest and the most aggressive, right? So much things we do as a parent, but we go out of our way, we put them first because they matter to us. How often have we done that for just others? I'm not saying let someone cough in your face. I'm just saying, hey, if we're going to hang out, what do you want to do? I'll do whatever. What do you want to do? Or if we're at work and we're grabbing, you know, if we're at work and work's, you know, going to grab some food somewhere, hey, what do you want to eat? I'll eat whatever you're having. I don't need to be picky. You know, what if we went and let someone have the preference of the activity of the day, or let someone, hey, go ahead and go first in line. I'm not quite ready yet. What if we just showed others some Christian values? How much easier would it be then to maybe invite someone to church? Matthew 18:18, I read you the New Living Translation. The King James Version puts it this way. It says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. To bind something, you have to claim it. You have to want it. You have to go to work. You have to make it happen. You can't ignore it. You can't walk past them. You can't turn away from them. You can't ignore them. You got to pray for them and you got to love them. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come. Where and who are they coming to? Where are we bringing people to? Our goal and our mission was to reach out to others, is to show somebody Christ, the same way that somebody once showed us Christ. We want to find somebody, everybody is looking for something. What they don't realize most of the time is what they're looking for is God. And when the scripture says, let them come, we need to have a safe place to bring them. That's what we're here for tonight. We bring them to church. We bring them where the worship is free and the word is spoken. And if we don't receive them and love them, who is going to? How many people are caught up in the most craziest situations, the most craziest of organizations, because somebody wants to be passionate about something? Somebody wants to feel important somewhere. Somebody's looking to be connected to something. So whether we realize it or not, there's that voice in the back of our heads. They don't want what we got. They don't want what we're offering. They might think I'm crazy. This world doesn't want God. But you wanted God. You needed God. And if we would see what they get, if we would think back on the, some people that we may not have reached out to, we look back in retrospect to the things that they got themselves caught up with, how is your God not better than what they're doing right now? How is the love and compassion that God has for them, how is that not better than what they're caught up with, what they're doing, what they're subjecting themselves to, just to be connected, to be a part? If we don't receive them and love them, who will? I've seen the craziest of organizations. I've seen the craziest of groups. I've seen the craziest of missions. Think about the society right now. Think about these just crazy programs or these crazy movements that are going on. How many people are a part of them, not fully believing, but just want to be a part of something and want to feel connected to something? We've had parades and marches going downtown where you would see the craziest things in the world. People will completely flip their script of what is normal to be a part of something that is crazy going on in D.C. just so they could be a part. But sometimes, or for some reason, we feel like they don't want what we got going on and they don't want our God. The world around us is looking for something. And if we don't receive them and love them, who will? We have to remember that they value. I go to work. I see my coworkers. I come back. Did I talk to them about God? Did I talk about Jesus? Did I even take a moment to think that they have value, that they matter to God, that they should matter to me? And then I stop for a moment and say, hey, tell me about yourself. What you doing? What do you do on Sundays? Let me tell you about myself. You know, sometimes we think we got to go out of our way to just say, hey, do you know Jesus? Well, why can't we just say, hey, man, I had a great time on Sunday. Church was amazing. Give them your testimony. How about you build that up first? How about you build up everything good and great God is doing in your life? How about you give them a little witness of what God's doing? You give them that weekly testimony. Church was good. God was good. I got a blessing. And then head overhead with, hey, come to church with me. At least there's a foundation there somewhere. Well, God's good for him. I want some of that. Just tell them what God is doing for you. Do it with love. You know, tell somebody, hey, listen, you know, have you ever told somebody who told you no multiple times? Listen, I invite you because God has blessed me so much. And I care about you so much. I want some of that blessing for you. And I know that God wants that blessing for you too. Those people that we are walking past every day, they have value. And God has a purpose for their life. And part of that purpose may have been us walking by them that day. Just to show love, to show compassion, just to open up that door, just to break that ice for the first time. And maybe one day they're going to come to you and say, hey, I know you pray. Will you pray for me? Church is not a bigger door than that. And that's happened to people in this church. Where you've just been loving and compassionate and someone said, hey, can you pray for me? Yes, I can. Let's do it right now. John Maxwell said, the first question a follower asks a leader is not, are you competent? Or are you going to help me? The first word they ask when they look at a leader and decide to follow a leader is, do you care for me? How many crazy organizations have people convinced that they care for them? How many people have drinking the Kool-Aid literally and died thinking that person cared for them? People want to know from you, leaders, do you care for me? And the reason for that is because we don't want to submit our lives to somebody who might hurt or manipulate us. in some way. We live in a world like that. We live in a world that people are looking to take advantage. People are looking to manipulate. People are looking to get ahead at your expense. That's the world we live in. You know what? We've built up walls because we expect that. We expect it in the world around us. And you know what? When you go to them and when you go to them with love and honest compassion, they may not believe you the first time. Because we've conditioned ourselves to put up these walls. But it is a change. It's just a change of thought process when somebody is sincere and you go to them and say, hey, I just want you to have a blessed day. Hey, you know, I'm praying for you. I don't know, I don't want nothing. Just praying for you. I just want everything that God wants for you. I want that for you too. So think about this. People are looking for somebody who cares about them. People are looking for somebody who cares about their situation, who cares about them as a person, who cares about the outcome of their lives. So the question of care is one that is significant in our life because it's the first step to trust, which is the first step to a relationship. We are going to have a hard time introducing these people to Jesus unless we have first built a relationship with them. Hey, you want to come to church with me? Who are you? That's a good question. Let me start it over. My name's Rob, and I've been seeing you here, and you know what? I've been praying about you, and I just want you to know that. Oh, okay. And you know what? Just be kind and be friendly. You know, we have people in our workplace that we're too afraid to invite to church. And then when we do invite them to church, they want nothing to do with it. Like, well, what happened there? Well, have you invited them to your house for dinner? Have they met your family? You met theirs? Have you invited them, shown them favor? Have you put them first? Have you tried to go out your way to be of help to them, be of support to them? You know, I do this just when I go to a branch, when I'm taking over a new branch and I'm trying to reduce turnover. I go there and I spend 2 weeks of helping everybody with everything that I absolutely can. And I do. And I go out of my way and I've made people coffee and I'm like, hey, I'm about to grab a water. You want one? Water, water, water. 7, 8. I got 2 hands, folks. This is going to be 2 trips. 9. Okay, give me a minute. And I do that because as a leader, and as I'm trying to retain, and I'm trying to get buy-in, and I'm trying to get them to allow me to shape them and help mold them and help make them better at their jobs, I'm trying to create buy-in. I'm trying to show them that I care. You know, you had a hard day. That's fine. You know, Saturday's rough for you. Breakfast on everybody. Let's do breakfast. I'm going to bring breakfast. You guys bring the work because I can't be here by myself. I need you to come. Please come. I did that 2 weeks ago. Please come. I can't run the branch by myself. You know, breakfast on me. We're doing it. Okay? We have to show buy-in and care. What if we just did that for the sake of Christ? What if I was less selfishly motivated in me and more positively motivated and Christ motivated in how they saw me in relation to my relation to Christ? I speak about this a lot, but I did a lot of this when Kiana was first coming around. There was a lot of social pressure to navigate. I'm in a workplace, and so they don't want you talking about God in the workplace. And there's a lot of, you know, and me and Kiana are two different backgrounds and two different situations. So I just asked questions. I just showed her I cared. I was trying to be as helpful as I could. I told her that I was praying about her. I said, I want you to come. You know, as you're around people, you know your coworkers. You guys share with your coworkers. Yeah, this is going on and this is going on. Why don't we stop telling them everything that's going wrong in our lives, talk about how God's blessing us? And when they start to share, hey, you know what? God can bless that. Hey, you know what? God has the answer for that. And I did that with Kiana for a year. For a year, she was there, and I just felt like she had to come to church. I felt like she was important. And I was very careful to navigate. She's the one who started asking me all these social questions, and I had to carefully navigate them because, you know, when you work at a bank, they make HR's number very accessible. So I had to navigate those things. But if I went at it from any other place than honest, just compassion, it probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere. And you don't know how many times she told me she was coming, she never showed up. You guys don't know how many times she said she was coming, and she never showed up. You wouldn't believe. We need to have a relationship with the people that we're trying to win over. That's why Pastor, he's always pushing relationships. He's pushing fellowship. He's pushing get out. He's pushing small groups. Invite people into your homes. Let them get to know you. You know, where let them get to know who you are. You are a person. You're not just somebody who has all these rules because of God. You're somebody who's allowing yourself to be molded and shaped by Christ. You're somebody who's allowing yourself to live a better life through Christ. You're somebody saying, I'm willing to sacrifice this because God has so much better for me. There's a stigma around our Christianity and our God. We break that when we have relationships with others. And I just want to encourage the church, we can do that first by showing the values of Christ. Love others as Christ loved you. Let's move on to how about somebody who's really hurt you. I would say it takes more strength to forgive them than it does to remain hostile and angry and bitter. Forgiveness is a big deal. You've got to be a big person to do it. Little people can't do it because they're too small, too petty, too easily offended. And we live in a world that's too easily offended. We live in a world that's ready to accuse you of the most heinous atrocities for the most smallest of imperceived offense. We live in a world who's looking through oppression goggles. You oppressed me. You hurt me. You attacked me. You intruded in my safe space. Die. That's what it feels like the world's saying. Die, all you die. How dare you? It has to be a big person who forgives. A big person who says, I will not be easily offended. A big person who says, I won't let that bother me. A big person who says, you know what? They didn't mean it that way. You know what? Maybe I understood it wrong. Forgiveness is a big thing, and you've got to be a big person in order to be able to do it. You got to be able to see the big picture to forgive someone. You got to be able to be willing to lose the battle to win the war. You got to be willing to let go of the small stuff that really doesn't matter all that much when you compare it to the blood of Jesus, which is the bigger picture, in order to forgive someone. How do we think God is able to forgive us, but he's not able to forgive them? How many times have we gone to God and say, Lord, forgive me for the same thing over and over and over again? But they offend me 3 or 4 times, and like, I'm done. It's over. It's a wrap. Fool me once. But then we start thinking about the bigger picture, folks, that God was able to forgive me. How is it that we think his grace is able to forgive all of the craziness in our lives, and somehow his hands are tied when it comes to their craziness? Some of us have phenomenal testimonies of where God has truly brought us from. But we look at someone else who came from similar crazy, God's not going to touch that. Some of us have forgotten our own testimony where God has brought us from. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm still going to forgiveness all the time. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I should have done this. Lord, I indulged in this. Lord, I acted selfishly here. Lord, I didn't put you first here. I don't think I put my family first here. How many times do we ourselves have to keep going to forgiveness? It's stuff that we're not proud of. Sometimes it's stuff that, except for grace, there's no chance in the world that we would make it to heaven. See, church, we need his grace. We need his forgiveness. And we're depending on him to help us get to where we're trying to go. We're trying to get to heaven. And sometimes we forget about all that when it comes to other people, their circumstances, or how crazy a life they're living, or what they're doing that we don't just want to get involved with, or how much they hurt us, and we forget that God has saved us and forgiven us, and God's ready and prepared to do the same thing. He's just waiting for you to take action. Sometimes we may not think this, but we act this. I'm the only one God died for. Because he keeps forgiving me, I don't see how he can forgive that. Or I don't see God turning that around. Or we say, I don't think they'll ever turn to God. How about God going and turning them around? I don't think they're ever going to give God a shot. How about God intervening and touching their hearts and compelling them to come? Sometimes we think that we're the only ones that he suffered for. Sometimes we think that we're the only one that Calvary was all about. We may not think that, but our behavior suggests that. Our behavior shows it in a way. But we need to remember John 3:16, that God so loved the world. It didn't say, oh, God so loved Rob, or God so loved Nate, or God so loved James. It says, God so loved the world. Why? Because they matter. They matter to Jesus, and they need to start mattering to us. More and more every day, the people around us need to matter. The people who are brand new, who walk in this place, they need to matter. The people who are walking around outside and start asking questions about church, they need to matter. The people who are kind of at the workplace and not really the people you kind of want to hang out with, those are the people God wants. Why? Because they matter. We can't call ourselves Christians and not be concerned about the same things Christ is concerned about. And we can't call ourselves Christians and not be concerned about the 8+ billion people that he is concerned about. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is not just about me today. It is not just about you today. It's about others. We need to get stirred up in our hearts about them because they matter. They matter to God, and they need to matter to us. And they need to know that they matter to us. The people around us, in our circles, that's our ministry field. That's our mission field. Those people need to know they matter to us. They need to know that we are concerned about them. They need to know that we care about them. If we're going to ever be what God wants us to be and God's called us to be, some of us are here praying to God, Lord, give me my ministry. If it doesn't involve them, then there is no ministry. If it's not about them, then there is no ministry. There is no that then you've worked your way out of a calling, because every calling, every ministry, every purpose, our cleaners don't come here on Saturday nights to clean because they feel good. It's about those new people that are walking in. It's about them. Our music team doesn't come here and practice in the morning before a lot of people are waking up, because they like waking up earlier than the rest of you. It's about them. It's about making sure that they're being used of God to let the Spirit of God flow in this place. There's no ministry church that does not focus around them, because they matter. So I encourage you today, we are coming up into a new year. Pastor's getting ready to cast a vision for 2023. And I promise you, there is not one of those visions that has anything to do with you, but has everything to do with them. It has everything to do with our part in reaching out to them and to loving them and to showing them the love of God and to teaching them a Bible study and to reaching out to them and to helping them find their plan of salvation. Amen? Church, we need to be ready for what God has planned for this ministry. And it all starts with our focus on them.